Hey.
Welcome to another episode of Mind Body Stuff. We are on our fifth episode now.
Can't believe that. Where has the time flown?
Well, it is March, I guess.
It is March, although it doesn't feel like March.
We're trying to do more podcasts. We've got to just keep figuring out what you guys want to hear. Any comments, any suggestions, any topics, please send them our way, because we do want to talk about what you guys are interested in. What are you guys thinking about right now? What are your questions? Right now, we're preparing for a training weekend, and they're always so much fun.
Oh my God, I love the training weekends.
They're so much fun. We've got people coming in from all over. We're in Missoula this weekend, so they're coming down from Alaska, and they're coming up from Wyoming and Idaho and Colorado and within the state. So it's going to be a fun one.
And we call it a training weekend, but really it's so much more than that.
It's so much more. And that's part of the reason why we've started to refer to it or give the option of this empowerment weekend, that you don't even have to want to become an instructor to attend these weekends, because there's so much just meaning and depth and connection and self-exploration and bravery that go into these weekends that really, honestly, I think anyone should do them. I really think that people who have never even done ULA would probably come and find a lot of value or meaning because of the mind-body connection.
And they're so inspirational. Like after, you know, we do all the trainings, we go to all the trainings, and every training, I'm completely inspired. One training, maybe it'll be like a dud. Maybe I won't be inspired. But every training I go to, I'm completely inspired. And I usually have one of my best classes the next day.
It's true.
Because I feel completely filled up.
Mm-hmm. Which is so wild, because they're exhausting weekends. But Bernice still always teaches Monday morning at 9:30, just on fire.
Yeah, it's my best. It's usually one of my best classes.
Which is so awesome.
Because I'm so in the moment and so with these new people that are so on fire, totally. So ignited.
One of the things that's been interesting now that I have two little children, and you also have one kid at home, many other kids out in the world, is the more... It's really hard to figure out how to grow this business and to offer these types of weekends. And we have a retreat we have an ulacation in Mexico we'll be coming home from it in a month from today.
I can't wait!
I'm so excited. But then, I have this massive amount of guilt that creeps into this. And so I guess what's been on my mind a lot is mom guilt. And I feel like anyone who is a mom, I'm sorry if there's non-moms out there. I hope this podcast isn't irrelevant to you. But it's really hard to figure out how to balance the things that you feel are important in your life and in your work and in your just yourself as an individual, and how that affects your family.
Oh, yeah. And I think guilt is relevant to everybody.
Exactly.
You know, of course, we all carry around guilt or shame of some sort, for sure. But for moms, it just is so, it's a constant reminder of how if we're, you know, busy doing something else, it's like, oh, should we be doing that? Is that a good thing we're doing and not spending time with our children?
Yeah, and another thing that's important to me is really making sure that the work that I do has significance. So the episode number 3 was all about glasses, and one of the big things that kind of hits me or triggers me is this significant. Like, I want my work and I want my life to have meaning. I want there to be a greater purpose to my reason for being on this planet. And so I put a lot of intentionality and a lot of time into the work that I do. But that means that all of that time is away from my children. And so I struggle with this, and it's interesting. So my daughter is almost one. She'll turn one in a week from today.
Yay.
And so
happy birthday, Piper.
Happy birthday, Pipes. I had like a really long massage. Like, I almost feel embarrassed to say how long of a massage.
You should feel embarrassed.
I should feel embarrassed. It's literally, it's super indulgent. But okay, so a week before I had Piper, so like literally last year at this time, I had a 2.5 hour long massage. And it was like so amazing. And so it was kind of like a birthing present to myself that I scheduled another one for actually today. It starts in 3 hours from right now. And so I told that to Rob, and I told him I had a massage this afternoon, and then we have a birthday party after that, and then I'm gone for training. We have, you know, I leave the house at 7:15 tomorrow morning, and I probably won't get back till 9 o'clock at night, and then Sunday, gone all day as well. And so I'm already having this guilt, and then I told him how long my massage is, and he made a comment about how selfish that was. And so that just like totally nicked me, and it made me feel super guilty. And it really got me. And so now I've got this like this thing weighing over my head. And I'm like, I'm going to pay the full price, but I'm only going to go for like maybe 90 minutes. No. It is selfish. It's bad, you know, all this stuff. So it's interesting. It's like, but then yet he's going to work in Africa next month, and he was supposed to be gone for 14 days, but now he's like, oh, but actually, can I meet my friend Theo in Amsterdam for 2 days at the end? I'm like, why am I worrying about an extra 30 minutes or an extra hour of a massage when you get 2 extra days after you've been gone for 14 in Amsterdam to play with your friend?
Yeah, that's not fair.
I know, but that's just the guilt. That's just the mom guilt.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if it's fair or not. It doesn't matter. You still carry the guilt.
Well, and the issue is he triggered you.
He did, because he said that I was selfish.
Right.
He and said that you were that selfish. Triggers me. I don't like that about other people.
Yeah.
And so when I was called that, I was like, oh man, I am being selfish. And I do feel selfish in a way, because I love my job so much. So I feel like when we are at work and when we're doing these trainings, like, we're just having the best time ever. It's not like, okay, we got to go to work now, you right. know, and like not enjoy it or be like, I'm just at work, but I can't wait to get home to my family. Like, I really love coming to work.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I think I also feel the guilt, because I actually really love what I'm doing.
And it's hard for us to leave.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times it's like, oh, I should go now. It's, you know, my kid's home and dad's home and I should go help. But part of me is like, but I am still at work.
Yeah.
So I can tell him I'm still at work. I'll be there soon.
Yeah.
But I'm working really hard, even though inside I'm like, I'm having the best time. And I don't really want to go home right now and deal with all my mom stuff.
You and know? I almost feel ashamed. Like, I actually feel ashamed that we're having this conversation right now. I'm like, uh-oh, am I going to feel like that was that we shouldn't have said this stuff on a podcast, to be like, I really like to be at work.
No, right. Well, but isn't that weird that wonder if men feel the same? I hate to do
I'm
the
sure
gender
they do.
Thing, but you know, sometimes I think in our society, and you guys can debate me on this, is that, you know, it's more okay for men to be gone at work all day, or, you know, in Africa or in Costa Rica, wherever their jobs may take them.
Mike
was just in Costa Rica doing a training down there. And you know, when he asked me, it's kind of like, and I'm off to, you know, here's my training schedule for the summer. Like, it wasn't really like, I didn't feel like he had much guilt about it.
Sure. He just said, this is what I'm doing.
Here's my training schedule. And this is very important. Like, I'm teaching people all these rescue skills. But part of me is like, why can't I present my training schedule like that? Where I'm like, well, actually, you know, I'm kind of mousy about it.
You always tell him like a couple days before you leave too. I'm like, have you told Mike?
Because I don't want any
of
the...
Have you told Mike yet?
I don't want to do what like Rob does, where they're just like, you know, really? Like,
and Rob doesn't do this, that he doesn't do it for my work stuff. He actually doesn't guilt me for my work stuff.
And Mike doesn't really either.
He guilted me for this massage, which I understand. 2.5 hours, you guys, it's kind of crazy, but oh my gosh, it's wonderful.
Yeah. And I think, and then let's get back to the guilt thing. Really?
No, let's get back to the massage thing.
I'm all,
Wonderful.
The guilt thing. I want the guilt. It really isn't our husbands doing it. It's us doing
it. No, it's totally us doing it.
It's us doing it.
I know that Rob doesn't actually care. Like, he doesn't care. He's very supportive. He just probably wants to hang out with me on a Friday night because I'm awesome. Because we have a great time together. It's Friday night. And he knows I'm going to be gone all weekend. And so he just used a word that would trigger me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows what to say to get me.
Right.
So, but it is. Nobody else can put this feeling on you. And if they do, shame on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it's usually just us. And I do feel lucky because I know that there are people who get a lot of that pressure or a lot of that that pushback from their partners.
Mm-hmm. Good point. That's true. I was just watching the Ruth Gator Bader Ginsburg. Gator. I call her Gator. Gator.
Jump, jump.
Yo, Gator, you're awesome. No, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, there's a new video, a film coming out, a documentary about her life. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, what a powerful woman to just be like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know, she became a lawyer when women weren't becoming lawyers, really. And now she became a Supreme Court justice.
Right.
But for me, if I decide to do that, and I'm sure it's for her too, maybe, I'm not sure. I won't speak for you, Ruth. For you, Gator. But for me, it would be fraught with guilt. Like,
yeah.
Should I be doing that? Should I be striving for that? Should I be working that hard to go there?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Right.
Well, and I guess be two things that you've talked to me about many times in your personal life. The first one is, and I don't know if you get... I thought you were looking at me like, what are you going to say?
No, I was looking at a hair on my jacket.
Okay.
Fascinating.
The first one is that you went to grad school and you had three very small children at home and how much stress that brought to the family life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But look, you went through a stressful period and now look at how many lives you are able to help. Many of us listening to the podcast have, I'm sure, been affected by Bernice's wisdom in one way or another. And so the fact that you have, you know, that you put in all that time and work so that you can do, you know, that you can help us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but it's hard in the moment. It's hard in the moment to be like, oh my gosh, my family is sacrificing. The house is sacrificing. We're eating the same, you know, we're eating
take
peanut butter
meal
and yeah,
or
exactly.
Whatever. Or peanut butter and jelly again.
But I think
grill it on the stove. Here's a new way to try it.
Yummy.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
But don't you think that that's like so sad that I feel like we almost are afraid to live up to our full potential or our full purpose.
I agree.
Because it's like, uh-oh, is someone else going to have to sacrifice a little bit for this short-term period?
For me to do this.
And now your schedule is super flexible. You can take clients whenever you want to. Like, it was a short-term sacrifice for a long-term benefit. But in that moment, it feels so hard to do it.
Oh, it felt, and it feels so bad.
You feel so guilty.
So bad, like going to the night classes and,
oh, yeah,
you know, leaving the kids with dad and all that stuff. But then on the opposing side, I'm setting such a good example for those kids in a
right.
weird way. Like, pursue your dreams, whatever they might be. And will it be hard sometimes to pursue them? Probably.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm setting the example as a woman and as a mom that I am going to do this.
Yeah.
That I can do both.
Yeah. That you can do both.
I can do both.
And not everybody wants to. And that's fine, too. But
totally
if you
fine.
Feel that drive inside of you or that just passion or the yearning or the calling to do something, you know, that takes you from your family. God, I just wish we didn't experience the guilt that we do run. I mean, I literally feel a little less now that Piper's fully done breastfeeding, but I feel like at every moment of my life, I am just running. Like, I'm in a hurry always. If mm-hmm. I'm at work, then I'm in a hurry to get home to take care of the kids. If I'm, you know, if I'm at home, I have 8:30 meetings every single day. I've got to, you know, get up, take the kids to preschool, get everything, you know, and be to the studio so we can start our morning. Like, I know everybody has things that they have to do, but it's like, I just feel like I'm constantly rushing. And then if I'm 5 minutes late, I feel this like guilt, but I don't know. I don't know how to let go of it. And I don't know if you ever do let go of it. Help anyone out there.
Do you
help.
Ever let go of it?
Help.
Some of you people.
Does guilt go away?
Grown up or maybe even grandmothers. I don't know. As you know, is there, people always say like when you're a grandma, you're really going to like it because you don't have the responsibility of the kid. Yeah. But
man, I'm in my prime right now.
I can't imagine that. Yeah.
I gotta go right now. I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got this beautiful life and I've got these, you know, these things I want to do. And yes, my children are absolutely the center of my universe, but I do feel like I have other things to do and it's just hard. I don't want to feel guilty. And that's my personal work. That's work that I need to do. And I need to just really believe that what I'm doing has meaning, and that's why I feel like I'm always questioning it. I'm constantly questioning it because I want to really make sure that it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this the other day in terms of negative self-talk, you know, like, because we do have this negative self-talk with the guilt, of course. It's always that negative tape recording in our head, like, you should be home. You're not a good mom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good moms would be home.
You're not a good partner. I always feel like the weight falls on my husband because he actually does way more childcare than I do. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, I'm not a good partner.
And he's pretty good at it.
Oh, he's way better than me.
He's better than my husband is better than me.
Way better at it than me.
Way better at parenting.
So much better.
I'm just like, hurry up.
Me too. I was like, oh yes, let's do look at that leaf for 15 minutes.
I'm like, this is boring. Do I have to read this story one more time or that one sentence over and over again? I don't want to. It's not fun for me. But the poor little kid is, of course, like, just one more time, Mama. I'm like, oh, I hate this story. I would end up just modifying stories after a while for the poor kids. They're like, that didn't happen in Little Red Riding Hood. I'm like, it did in our story. Because it's taking too long. I'm bored. Who else does that? I know you guys do. Some of you are doing that right now. And it's okay. Even if they know a different rendition.
Well, and look at all of your grown children are absolutely incredible human beings doing really cool work, have great jobs, are in healthy relationships.
Motivated. People, you know, making.
Quite attractive, too.
Don't mind if I agree.
She has some sons that are.
Calm down, Kaylee. Hope they don't listen to that podcast.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Ev.
But they are motivated and driven, both the males and the females.
Joe's pretty nice. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
You're pretty good looking, too.
You are hot, baby. And you are smart and driven and, you know, unstoppable.
You
would
are.
Love that.
Joe is unstoppable.
But that, back to the negative self-talk.
Sorry.
Like, it was interesting how we got on that subject. We got from mom guilt, like today, to the negative self-talk. And Kaylee was doing a class yesterday, Ula One class, and the
it's a really cool song. It's called like what is it called? Grandmother something. So it's like this woman, and she's just kind of speaking about letting go. She was talking about like kind of finding her path to enlightenment. It's basically beautiful in the music in the background, and then she's just speaking. And towards the end, she said, I have accepted a lifetime of self-judgment, or I've accepted a lifetime of judgment against myself. And like, how many of us just accept this judgment day in and day out of ourselves? Mm-hmm. Like, we just, it just feels natural, I think, almost to feel judgmental of yourself. But B, you brought up a really interesting point about this, which I've been thinking about a lot since you said it. So will you?
Well, it was interesting because she not only says this in the song about we've been dealing with a lifetime of judgment, she says in the song, you know, and you need to let it go.
Yeah.
And right away I had this visceral reaction of like, no, I can't let it go. Like, I can let part of it go, but not all of it go.
Yeah.
And then, so then I'm talking to myself, like, well, why can't you let it all go? Like, why are you hanging on to that negative self-judgment? And part of, for me, is it's my drive, unfortunately. Yeah. or fortunately, I'm not sure, you know, if it's good or bad, or if it matters. But when I have that negative self-talk or those judgments, part of me is I re-harness it and I go like, okay, what do you want to do about that?
Right.
And then it makes me like, well, don't be late, you know, or then you got to do this better. Mm-hmm. And then I do it better.
Right.
But it's just a weird, it was just weird how I had such a visceral reaction of like, then let it go. I'm like, no.
No, I can't, because then I would just be a slob who lays around and does nothing all
what
day.
What a wonderful day.
Yeah, and I, and like when you said that, it made a lot of sense to me, because I'm just trying to think about the things that, you know, we judge ourselves for. And, you know, sometimes you may, or things that I guess I feel guilty about or whatever. And so let's say that I just ate like crap for a couple of days. That self-judgment piece, I guess this is how I'm relating, is it's like, oh, Kaylee, like that, you shouldn't have eaten that. Like, and then that will like be my kind of trigger or my whatever,
impetus
to then be like, okay, like you need to make some healthy food. You need to eat you need to order a salad. And I think if I at least didn't have that, a little bit of self-judgment or a little, but is judgment the right word? See, I don't know.
I don't know either, but it is.
But it is a negative, negative self-talk.
It's like, because what
negative self-talk.
How Kaylee answered yesterday was, but couldn't you just reframe it into positive self-talk?
Well, yeah. And the problem with it is it's negative reinforcement. And that has proven, I think, to be not the most successful or healthy way to make changes.
It's a tad problematic.
Right. Yeah. And so positive self-talk or positive reinforcement, correction, whatever, I think is kind of the goal.
Like, I wonder if you could say to yourself instead, like,
hey, Kaylee, you are going to feel so much better if you give yourself something really nourishing and healthy.
Right. And you know you always feel better when you do that. And
but sometimes for me, that's not enough.
To get you to do it.
Yeah. It almost takes the negative talk to, like, fuel me. But is it because we're both really fiery, like, rawr kind of people?
Maybe that,
and that we like a challenge almost, so it's kind of like, oh, I can be better than that,
right? Yeah,
you know, like I'm not always super motivated by gentle encouragement.
No, me neither. I'm kind of like, whatever, you don't really mean it, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like,
yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
Yeah, I just want people to think about that, like when we talk about negative self-talk. Yeah. Has it been beneficial to you? How has it not been beneficial to you?
Yeah.
Are you attached to it? Are you not attached to it?
These are just very good questions to ask ourselves. And not only negative self-talk, but something that is really interesting to me, and it's come up a few times recently, is not only negative self-talk, but these emotions that are harder to deal with. And I feel like one of the coolest, most important things about ULA is it does give us a safe space to explore these emotions that aren't always comfortable.
This is very interesting, because we had a woman today talk about anger.
Yes. So she hadn't been to class in a while, and she's gone through cancer and chemo. And she said that when she was dancing today, she felt so much anger come up, like just kind of swell inside of her, that she almost left.
Yeah.
And then she did a little self-talk, and she said, no, it's okay. You're safe here. It's okay. You can cry here. This release is healthy. This space is safe. And it was interesting.
And she said, I'm not comfortable with anger.
Oh, yeah. She said, I'm not comfortable
with
anger.
I'm not comfortable with anger. And I said, but because of what she's gone through, anger is going to be a big piece of what's coming up. And that we can't, anger's, you don't want, not any emotion, you don't want to can it, of course, because it gets more and more
powerful. Yeah, and the pressure just starts cooking
build,
on it.
Build. So, and I understand, all of us are uncomfortable with certain emotions, for sure. Just how we are.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. And it's great that she has the self-realization that really anger is uncomfortable for her. And yet here she was just dancing and feeling it. The way she said it was so good, just coming out of her limbs almost as she was moving. And first kind of shocking herself that she had that much anger.
And not enjoying actually how that felt.
Not enjoying it, because it was a surprise and it kind of scary.
It scared her.
Oh, I got a lot down there.
Yeah, like more than she probably thought.
Exactly right. And so, but how great that she was able to kind of process.
Well, and don't you think that there's like, it can almost feel like uncontrollable when you're not aware of how much is there. And that feeling is really hard for a lot of us to be like, oh my gosh, I did not know that this, what's going to happen? What, you know,
will I be overcome with it?
Will I be overcome with it? Will other people notice it? Will, you know, does it mean that I'm an angry person? I didn't even know I had all this anger. Yes. What does this mean about me that so I have shocking. All this anger inside yes. of me?
Yeah, that's right.
And I think one of the really important things about having a mind-body practice, whether it's ULA or whether it's, you know, whatever it is that gives us these safe spaces for healing, but also for exploration.
An expression.
And one of the beautiful things about ULA is sometimes just saying out loud these things that we're angry about or these things that that we're fearful about or feel, you know, sad about. Sometimes those words are hard to find and it feels scary to talk about them in our words and telling our own story. And the beauty about ULA is that the song lyrics and the movement can almost just take you to this deeper level of healing or to this space that you don't have to find the words for on your own. You don't have to do any of this alone, and you don't even have to make it personal. Mm. You can dance anger without necessarily having to feel your own anger if you're not ready. If you're ready to process your anger in that space to these songs, it will come up and it's a safe space to do it. But what I think is important is just to allow the expression and the feeling of anger to be present within us and to be released and expressed through us, because I do really believe that by experiencing and expressing this broad range of emotions, we can find our balance. We can find our balance in this healthy place, because we aren't neglecting some emotions. We're not just focusing on the positive. I can't tell you how many times I say, just by like denying the negative emotions is not going to make you happy. Mm-mm. You have to feel them to free them. And it's okay. This is the path to health.
And hello, it's about balance.
It's about balance.
Hello. So you can't just have happy all the time. That's how I started as an instructor.
Oh, yeah. Good point, B.
Yeah, I started with the happy all the time. I just wanted to be happy. And the work that I do in mental health, it does feel like I just need to be happy, like mm-hmm. to deal with all the sadness or depression or anxiety or whatever I'm sitting with. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The deeper I got connected to ULA, the less happy my songs were in a weird
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
And I got attracted to the sexy songs then.
You know what? And probably mm-hmm. the happier you actually got.
Yes, that's exactly right. The happier and the more balanced I got, the more then these other songs started to bubble up and have meaning for me.
And to not be scary.
Not to be scary, right?
I think sometimes these songs are uncomfortable because it's like, oh no.
That's a lot. What a lot right there, maybe.
What's going on? Or I know I'm not comfortable feeling anger. I'm not comfortable feeling these things, so I'm not going to do these songs. Or I'm going to avoid them, or, you know, whatever. But
Or they don't apply to me.
Or they don't apply to me. I can't connect to this song. Mm-hmm. Have you never really been angry? Has no one ever done something to like really hurt you? Yeah. Or are you not just so upset about injustices in the world? Like, it doesn't always have to be for you either. But I feel like when we recognize we're part of something bigger, then we can dance for other people. We can dance for the collective. Our energy means something.
And I love when people are like, well, you know, I don't connect to those songs, or which, you know, we have our own paths in this life. But I just think about kids, you know, mm-hmm. and they're just so willing to be, little kids are so willing to be like angry.
Yeah.
Or I'm sad. I'm super sad now. I didn't get that candy bar. Mommy said I could. Yeah, they're just totally. So easy to emote because their yes. emotions are so available to them. And we slowly as adults are like, please don't do this to the grocery yeah. store.
Yes. Good point, right? B.
So we Good learn point. Right away to be like, oh, that's not right. I shouldn't do that. And I think that's why we come up against it in class sometimes, because people are like, no.
Uh-huh.
I remember I did that when I was 5. I cried in the grocery store and mom said, quiet.
And I got in trouble for it.
You be quiet. We're in the grocery store. This is yep. not the right place.
Yep.
And then suddenly we generalize, you know.
Yeah.
And then we're like, no, I can't. That's right.
That's a really good point.
It's so interesting because you look at kids and they're just so ready to emote.
Yeah.
They're just like constantly emoting.
Yeah. Yeah, they totally are. And they're, but yeah, it's just free.
It's just natural.
It just comes
to them.
Out. They can't even help it.
No, they can't help it. And that's how we're just like them.
We are.
In big bodies. We have the same feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, she said that didn't really hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
But inside, but outside, I'm like, have a wonderful day, Barbara.
You always use Barbara.
Barbara, because, well,
it's
I don't know.
Always
it's on
Barbara.
The tip of my tongue.
It's funny. Yeah, that's interesting. And I, but.
Anyway.
I do think, though, that doing it in a space with other people emoting
communally,
as well, it almost feels like, it almost, instead of just being like, oh, I'm angry and this feels uncomfortable, it can be like, wow, we together are powerful.
Yes.
Because anger, where did I hear this? Anger is the immune system of the soul. I think I've said this quote somewhere live or on this podcast before, but that to me is like so cool. Emotions can also just be kind of our little like, hey, pay attention. Mm-hmm. Hey, pay attention.
Right.
And I feel when we can really kind of tap into some of these lyrics or these emotions or feelings, and when you do it in the presence of other people, then it takes on a different, it's not just like I'm angry, but it's like, you know what? We together can do something about this.
Yeah, right. There feels like there's some power there.
There is.
And safety.
And
I
safety.
Feel safer.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I do too.
It's I looked not just over like, at, you know, Deborah in the corner, and she had that same feeling on her face, and I felt safer.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's feeling it too. I guess mm-hmm. it's okay.
And that's this humanness.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that we are the same.
And the need for connection.
The need for connection and understanding that
and
we
commonality.
All feel these emotions about different things at different times, but we are all humans. And emotions are what are such a beautiful part of the human experience.
Just like in kids. It's just who we are.
So let it out. For those of you who actually attend ULA, like, I would be curious if there are songs that you shy away from or you think that, you know, that you don't like them or they're uncomfortable for an emotional reason or for what it brings up. I, you know, this might be just interesting stuff to think about, this mind-body stuff to explore and be curious about and maybe journal about or you know, however you can come to this place of processing about why mm-hmm. this stuff triggers you.
Yeah.
Or why you don't want to, why you don't want to go there.
Why I'm not comfortable with that and, you know, mm-hmm. why can I do it in my classes? And it's the same for me. Like, why did I start with just the happy songs?
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for a long time.
Yeah.
A lot of happy songs for a long time.
Yes, you did.
Which is totally
you definitely
fine.
Did.
We all have our own journey with our emotions and how we want to express them and also our level of safety.
Yeah.
For, you know, why we feel safe or not safe. And that's all. I think the main thing is to be curious and to be offer yourself grace mm-hmm. as you're dealing with that process of figuring out why does that song, why don't I want to do that song?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
What does
and
it bring
it's
up
interesting
for me?
Because for me, I usually want the songs that actually don't come as natural to me in my regular life, but my life outside of the dance floor. Like, I'm super silly and goofy and playful with my kids. Like, we are super giggly at my house. And I don't always feel like I need this, the cheesy ones or the mm-hmm. light ones. Like, I don't do actually a lot of the super cheesy, like, what's that one? That the wildlife or whatever.
Oh, Wildlife. That's right. People love that song.
People loved it, but I never could get into that one. But it's not because I don't like being silly and goofy, but it's funny because it's like, that's kind of my natural state at home with my kids. And,
mm-hmm.
and when I'm dancing, like, I'm seeking what maybe not as easy to access within myself
or in your
other
family
times.
Life.
Yeah, my family life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I'm silly all the time. We listen to Disney songs constantly. Royce, I'm talking in high-pitched voices. You know, it's like, that's just kind of what I do a lot. And so it feels good to come in and experience and go to places that aren't totally natural or comfortable for me. But when it's a safe space, then you can just explore. And that's kind of like this theme we keep talking about here at ULA is approaching everything with a sense of curiosity.
Yeah.
Just it's self-exploration. It's learning about yourself, then loving yourself wherever you are, and then making decisions on how you want to move forward into your life with that self-realization and that knowing, with that self-love. And then you can make choices and you can take action in ways that really feel good and are important to you, and where you what you want to do with this beautiful, special, absolutely incredible life.
Mm-hmm. So well said. Yeah.
So anyways, would love to hear your thoughts on this. You can comment. We can talk about this podcast in the Ula community page. We always love your input on Instagram. I know it sounds maybe, you know, marketing type, but the more interaction we have on Instagram, the more followers, the more Ula can continue to grow, and that we can keep justifying to our husbands why we need to be gone so many weekends to spend trainings and retreats with you all.
And we get to share this wonderful gift exactly. with so many more people. I think that's the bottom line. Is I just keep wanting to share this with as many people as possible.
I cannot imagine my life without this.
Yeah.
How many people out there need this space, need to love themselves, find that connection between the mind and the body, to dance, to be free, to be empowered, to connect, to love, to grow, to forgive. It's so important.
So, so important. We love you guys, and we're so appreciative of the time you take to listen to these podcasts, and we do appreciate all your input.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you, B.
Love you, Kaylee.